Okay, I'm just going to read a few poems. The first poem I'm going to read isn't the poem that got me this wonderful gall of money and a beautiful trophy. Did I mention it was the first trophy I've ever won in my life? The tradition of this evening is that usually poets don't read their own poems, they read poems by somebody else. So I'm going to start off-ish by reading a poem by somebody else. In my version, it's a translation, really a transversion of Charles Baudelaire. The thing is with Baudelaire at this stage, he's been thoroughly translated. So thoroughly translated that you can expect what a translation is going to be. And I find that the challenge. So I say nothing else. This is just my version of the poem in English called The Owls. From within the yew's gloom that asylums the owls, ranked in rows like migrant gods, their red gaze exudes. They scheme. There they will roost, torpid, until the saddened hour when, folding the slanted star, the night thickens rigid. The student of such perceives that the wise will never grieve lack of vigour and tumult. Men who hold their shadows close will always bear the deadened welt of the dark exchange they chose. Okay, I sent in three poems, different weeks, for this competition. And I just want to say that the poem that I knew would win, the one that was my best poem, wasn't even fucking shortlisted. The poem that I wanted to write and knew didn't have a chance to even get into the anthology, it won. I mean, how fucked up and wonderful is that? Okay, this is, I had in mind that I wanted to write a poem for 1916, 2016, and the 100 years in between, and this country of ours, the country that I didn't spend my first years in. I didn't spend my first formative years in this country, as you can tell by my Sassenach accent. But I wanted to write a 100 years of Ireland poem. But the other thing is, 100 years, that's a lot of years to fit into one poem. So I just wanted to make a statement about this country of ours. Being a metaphoricist, of course, I don't say things plainly. For that reason, most people have no fucking clue what my poetry is about anyway. But this poem is about Ireland. Just want to say one thing about this. This is a technical thing, so I'm allowed to say this. I had the idea of presenting this poem as a dance. So I wanted a dance rhythm. And I decided to try to incorporate a Kermis rhythm. A Kermis is a communal dance, danced by lots and lots of people all at once. Anyway, there you go. It's called The Dance Hall on the Summit of the Bloodiest Head of the 26-Headed Giant. The dirigible made port in the port on the side of his head. That would be the 13th head. There was no option on landing on any of his 25 other heads, for they were permed and pandered for the rich and elite to frolic in the luxury of his curls. But head number 13 was as devoid of hair as ever. On disembarking, they were met by a stainless steel bouncer. Pale ornamental rushes carved from the bones of murdered dancers lined the fleshy streets. The bouncer struck sparks with each step up the bone steps to the dance hall on the top of the head. The bouncer sang a song as he led the group up the steps, sang a song through his square stainless teeth, a song of the slaughtered waltzers, one that they had sung as they fell under the pummeling fists of the bouncer. The bouncer's voice was deep in his steel throat. The song was beautiful and free of pain. The other 25 heads were all ears. They basked in the scandal and judged. The revel makers knew that this would be a dizzy weekend, all right. Dancing on the bald escarpments of head number 13. All the other heads talking to each other, but studiously ignoring theirs. Yes, head number 13 was there in the midst of all those more superior heads, with not even its own shoulder to lean on. What gives me the greatest pleasure, of course, is winning something with a poem as fucked up as that. Okay, I'm just going to read...
Do you have the poem that you believe is going to win?
No, because I've sent that off to the Irish Times, and it was rejected by the Irish Times, and I've sent it off somewhere else, Pat. So I'm saying nothing until it's published, which will probably be never, by the looks of it. Why are you laughing?
You're funny.
I know, I'm a fucking comedian. Okay, this is just a poem called Some Feral Prosodic Felines of the 1800s. And of course it's about feral prosodic felines of the 1800s. Venereal Byron with his inkwell of pus and that bag of cats in his scrotum, perhaps, was spitting invective ever, ever on Johnny Keats with his piss-a-bed verse in letter after letter and catty rhymes, often asterisked in later times, but another cat did it for poor Johnny Keats, a she-cat with gristled, foul, dripping teats that he carried embedded in his bony breast, a muse given to coughing and asthmatic fits, one that boiled up with spigots of phlegm, a bitch of a bitch that scratched from within, until one night before the strike of 12, the she-cat in his chest found that trembling thrush, the songbird that had sung for Johnny's pen, that sang its song from inner ken. Well, cat tore the bird, and in hacking breaths, Keats expired with many coughs, and when Johnny was opened the very next day, his lungs were gone. The cat was gone. The bird was gone. The poem's done. Everyone here has read three poems, so I'm just going to finish now with my fourth, because we've got a long night. I was surprised actually to hear that Deirdre, his new book, is for dwarves. Is that right, Deirdre?
Right.
She's written a book for dwarves, apparently.
Small people.
Yeah. This last poem that I'm going to finish is an Ashley, or if you like, some breed of a muse poem. But it's written for small people. It's written for children, and even possibly dwarves. It's called... Oh yeah, I know. Did you hear the way I did that? Totally non-PC. Totally non-PC. I didn't grow till I was 19. So I'm really a grown-up dwarf. So I'm allowed to say whatever I want. Oh, by the way, you know you were talking about Schumann, was it?
Yeah.
I have something in common with Schumann. You probably don't realise this. You know, Schumann became insane towards the end of his life. Well, I was insane at the beginning of my life, and I'm getting better every year. Princess of the Hedgerow. And now all a freckle, a flutter, a blackbird in each eye, a brandling worm, a bracelet worn, a beetle blue as sky, a blush of red-leafed autumn, a voice of damson sweet, a bird's nest nestled in each ear, a birdsong so discreet, a dress of dew, a dress of snow, a dress of shining frost, a badger half a moon face, his shadowed body lost. Her hair is pinned with thistles, her hair is pinned with thorns, no money jangles in her purse, only chinking stones. Thank you.